Hey, how's it going? You're listening to the final episode of Season 4 of Something Shifted. If you're new here, there's loads to catch up on. Today's story belongs to someone we both know. Rue.
I was a ghost. I just would walk up the stairs and plop down on our bed, and Nova would just lie next to me. In my darkest moments, Nova was there.
That's next. Something Shifted is about identity after interruption. It's where we tell stories about who we become after a lifequake hits and what we tell ourselves when everything changes. And I think you're gonna like it here. My name is Sean, and this is Something Shifted. Right after this. If you're one of those people that believe rest is a luxury, we can't be friends. Real change is exhausting, and even when your mind is ready, your body has kept the score, and it can't keep up without proper recovery. So I've started taking Solol's magnesium glycinate. It helps with muscle energy, nervous system support, and I'm honestly feeling a lot less fatigued. You can learn more about Solol and their full range of supplements for healthy aging on Solol, solal.co.za. There are people in this life that are dog owners. They are people who like dogs. And then they are dog people. And my wife, Ruenda, Rue, is a dog person.
I don't think I've ever walked past the dog and not felt happier for just having seen a dog.
When you walk through our front door, you'll be greeted by a photo of a dog licking Rue's face. There are photos of our dogs mounted above our fireplace. Our couches are covered in dog hairs. And there are 9 paintings of dogs in the dining room.
It's one of my favorite things when I end up somewhere where you're not expecting to see a dog, like at a restaurant, for example, and there's a dog. The hardest thing for me is not to get excited about service dogs because they're working. They wear little vests that say, I'm working. How can you not love that?
Rue has always loved animals, and she's had many pets. A hamster named Pixie, Jimmy the goldfish, and 2 black cats called Lady and Amore. But dogs? Dogs have always occupied a very special place in her heart.
I was born into a family with 2 big dogs, 2 Dobermans.
And the first dog she called her own was Jet, the long-haired Dachshund. Rue was 5 when she got Jet.
And he was the best dog. I put him in my pram, and I dressed him up as a doll, and I pushed him around.
After Jet passed, the wooden dolls got 2 more Dachshunds, Journey and Vicky. And they were still around when Rue and I started dating. So I got to meet them on my first visit to George back in 2010.
They were good companions. I remember studying for matric exams with them on my bed, and I guess it's the fact that they're part of the memories, even if they're not the core focus of a memory, they're just there. I'm an only child, and dogs were part of my formative years. There's something incredibly comforting about their presence. So I'm happy on my own. I'm much happier when I'm on my own with a dog. Dogs have just always been part of my story.
So I knew when I fell in love with this woman that at some point we would have a dog. I just thought it would go buy a house, settle in, establish the garden, get a dog. Instead, it went something like buy a house and in the period that the transfer is going through, answer a random call from your wife between songs while you host a radio show.
Sean, I think I've done something that's going to change our lives.
So what had happened while I was working? Rue and our good friend Joe were leading a field trip for students in an informal settlement just outside French Hook.
And all of a sudden there's just this chaos and yelping and a little black flash and a bunch of kids running with sticks. And Joe takes off after them. And when I finally caught up with them, Joe had this puppy, this tiny little black ball of caked fur.
Now, I wasn't here for this part, but apparently a man showed up, followed by a grown dog that could have been the puppy's mother, which led to a negotiation about taking the puppy to a rescue shelter.
And then as I turned around, there's this other little puppy looking up at me and looks like a little wild dog. Big ears, bat ears, and tiny and scrawny and scruffy. And then I just said, well, then we're taking them both.
Now, Ruth swears to me that the intention was to take both puppies to the animal shelter. But by the time she and Joe got back to the car, those two puppies had become ours. I just didn't know it yet. And so while we were waiting to move into our new house, we got two dogs.
And these dogs looked rough, man. You could see the cuteness underneath the layers of dirt, but I remember giving them a bath, and I had never seen some of the insects that crawled out of their fur. And so they were a bit mangy and petrified. They were petrified, and they were so hungry.
We started them off with ProNutro, and they were so hungry, they tried to eat the plastic bowls. They sort of stood with as much of their little bodies over their bowls to prevent anyone from taking it. So it was a bumpy start for our little family of suddenly four. But after a couple of bowls of porridge and another bath, we figured it was time to name them.
We landed on Nova first, and we liked it because it was short, and Nova means new. And then we wanted a matching name. And I remember scrolling on a website and coming across Knox. I think it's an old Scottish name that means from the hills. And I was like, that's great, because I found them on the hills. So that's how they became Knox and Nova.
Two sisters from the same litter, although the differences in appearance and temperament were very clear. Both of them mostly black with brown markings. Knox's markings are more caramel brown, and Nova's lighter, sort of a champagne color, and a white star on Nova's chest.
Ooh, they're a mix of many things, but Knox, I think, has maybe a bit of husky and otter in. She looks like an otter sometimes. Nova looked like a bat crossed with a wild dog when she was a puppy. So big ears, big ass ears. And when she was older, she stood a bit taller than Knox, more terrier, maybe like hunting dog coming through in her stature.
Although Nova was the taller of the two, Knox seemed to dominate most of their interactions. Knox would loudly demand attention, while Nova would quietly shove her snout under your idle hand and get you to scratch her head, then her back, and then her bum.
So Knox has always been the cuddly one out of the two, where Nova was always a bit more skeptical about everything. And if you were ever to scold Nova, she would look so sad and regretful of doing something wrong. You can scold Knox. Millisecond later, she's forgotten that anything happened, and she just continues on her merry way. So Nova was a lot more introverted and sensitive, and you had to earn Nova's trust.
Like many first-time parents, dog parents in this case, we set out to raise them right. You know, no human food, no feeding them off the table, no dogs on the couches, no dogs on the beds. Well, maybe sometimes on the bed. We broke the no dogs on the bed rule when they were about 2 years old. Zoe was 6 months old at the time, and she'd been in hospital for weeks on end. And between Rue, her mom, and myself, we would take turns staying over at the hospital, across the road in an apartment, and visiting our own house.
So I would only get to be home maybe once a week, and I was a ghost. And it's like Nova just knew. She's wounded. I don't even remember eating. I just would walk up the stairs and plop down on our bed. And Nova would just lie next to me. In my darkest moments, Nova was there.
Rue held it together for the first couple of years of near-death crises with Zoe and the extended hospital stays. She was a rock. But when Zoe started getting better, getting healthier, when things were more stable, that's when Rue started having panic attacks.
It would always kind of hit me when I would least expect it. And for some other reason, I always found myself sitting in this gallery, wedged between the back door and the dishwasher. I just wanted to be in a corner. No, nothing could come at me from behind. And normally when you sit on the floor and the dogs can access your face, they'll be in it. And they will lick and shove their noses in your mouth. And whenever I had a mental wobble and I found myself propped between the back door and the dishwasher, Nova would just come sit next to me.
And that's where I would find them. Rue's face shoved in Nova's fur in the back of the scullery. But I knew if Nova was with her, Rue would be okay. So, as life happened to us, some rules in the Lewitz house evolved. Like, no dogs on the bed became daytime naps or a group activity.
Nox, pretty chilled in terms of nap time. She's just happy to be included. We'll chill at the foot end of the bed, no problems. But in time, Nova became convinced that her rightful spot on the bed is with her head on a pillow, like a human. So then she just wanted to lie comfortably on her side. And once she was snuggled in, no one dared to move.
We held on to the no dogs on the couches rule for a while, and then COVID hit.
There was a moment where I just went, you know what? We're all probably going to die. So I think the dogs can be on the couch with me now. And that is maybe one of the most joyful decisions I've made in my life.
So this is our story about the incredible joy we have had in sharing our lives with Nova.
Pepper was that dog's kryptonite. Loved toilet rolls, obsessed with toilet rolls. If you were in the toilet and you so happened to use the last piece of toilet paper, a mile away she would hear that empty toilet rolliki. And if you open the door, there she is, tail doing a little circle swag, ready for her toilet paper roll. And if she's super excited to see you, she would use paper to regulate her emotions. So she would go and find a piece of paper and carry it to you. Man, she loved paper.
And this is also our story about losing our spirit animal, Nova. We're not big New Year's Eve people. It's one of the nights of the year where we know we're going to be home to make sure our dogs are okay. So late afternoon, 31 December 2025, we gave the dogs their dinner. They're 11 years old. So like the old ladies they are, their dinner has shifted to 4 p.m. But Nova didn't want to eat.
And in 11 years, I have never seen that dog refuse food.
You know how it goes. Children and pets like waiting for after hours or public holidays to get really ill. So Rue decided to take Nova to the vet since it was Wednesday and all vets would probably be closed right up until the following Monday, January the 5th. Off they went to the animal hospital near us.
I waited forever.
Rue and Nova sat for 3 hours in the waiting room and I would get running commentary on all people watching they were doing.
There was a guy who came in with his very, very sick looking old dog. And I had this moment where I thought, you know what, I'm not here to say goodbye to my dog. I will wait. So we saw a very young vet, very bubbly personality, just like, it's probably gastritis. So I'm going to give you some pain meds and I'm going to give her something for nausea. And then if she's not better in like 24, 48 hours, bring her back.
So we followed the vet's instructions and got Nova some electrolytes and gave her some fancy soft food. Wait, I should actually say gave both dogs some fancy soft food.
And then for 24 hours, I think she was all right. Bit ginger, not quite herself, but she was eating.
But by the 2nd of January, Nova stopped eating, and it was clear that something serious was wrong. A more subdued Nova and Rue went back to the 24-hour animal hospital. Fortunately, they didn't wait long this time around.
I saw a different vet this time, and she's like, I see why you're worried. Her gums are a bit pale. It's an older dog, not eating. The person who does the sonars is only going to be in tomorrow morning. So I think you should take her home with you, bring her in the morning, and then we'll do an abdominal sonar and we'll get a sense of what's going on.
The girls came home and things got very quiet. Even Knox knew that it was not a day for barking or playing. I carried a mattress downstairs for Rue so she could spend the night with Nova. This has been the rhythm of our lives. In times of crisis, we divide and conquer. It's how we've navigated long hospital stays and seizures. We split up and we just do what needs to get done.
I don't think I slept at all because Nova would get up every now and again and then like walk to the water bowl and just stand there. And then she got onto the mattress with me and I had another good cuddle with her and I made sure to lie very, very still so I didn't disturb her.
Rue dropped a very quiet Nova off at the vet the next morning, and we quietly waited for a diagnosis.
The third vet. And it was really difficult to hear her. She had quite a thick accent, and the phone line wasn't great. She said they've done the sonar, and there's a massive cyst on Nova's spleen that has ruptured. So she's bleeding internally. There's too much blood, so they can't really see the full extent of the damage or whether this is the only growth. So they don't know if it's benign or whether it's cancer. And so we need to make a decision now whether they need to operate and see what's going on or if we don't want to go that route. And I said, okay, I'll phone back in 10 minutes.
We had a terrible decision to make, although it also felt like the decision had been made for us. An emergency invasive procedure with a long post-op recovery process when we don't even know how bad the problem really is.
And so I phoned the vet back and I said, we're not going to put her through that. And she asked how quickly I could get there, and I said, I'm on my way.
It was another time of crisis for us, and we had to divide and conquer again to make it through. I had to watch Rue leave to go and do the hardest thing all on her own.
And I was calm all the way there. I go to the reception and I say to them, I'm here for Nova, and now there's paperwork. And it was so overwhelming because I didn't know that there were so many different things to choose when your dog dies. Do you want the body? Do you not want the body? Do you want cremation? If you want cremation, do you want her in this kind of urn or this kind of urn? And I'm like, I'm here because my dog is dying and I cannot believe you're making me go through all of these trivial matters.
This time around, the messages from the vet's office were very short. Here. Paperwork. waiting. Going to see her now.
Vet came to fetch me. And I was honestly expecting a subdued dog that had, I assume they had to knock her out to do the sonar. They shaved her belly. So what I wasn't expecting was to walk down these passages to a room and she opens the door and there's Nova, so happy to see me, with a clear, let's get the fuck out of here expression on her face.
The vet offered Rue some alone time with Nova.
I could just see Nova getting more and more anxious because I'm not... She wants to go. She doesn't want to be here. So I think I probably spent about a minute with her. And then I called the vet and I said, I think it's time.
Neither Rue nor I have needed to do this part before. For all the animals we have loved, we've never needed to make these decisions or be present for these terrible moments.
I didn't know what to expect. She already had the drip in her paw. So the doctor unwinds this long IV line. And she says to me, okay, so, you know, like, hold her. And Nova just wanted to get away from this woman. So there was a office chair and a desk. And Nova kind of cowered underneath the office chair. So I kind of was holding her, but not completely, because she didn't want to be held. And that's Nova, like, she never wanted to be trapped. I didn't know that it happened so instantaneously. And so she just died. She just collapsed half in my arms, half over the wheels of this office chair. And she was just gone. And I was just over.
They lay Nova down on a blanket, and the vet assured Rue that she'd made the right decision. The operation would have been very risky. She would have been in a lot of pain if they managed to save her. And being an older dog, her recovery would have taken a long time. She'd had a good life.
And only then did I realize why they make you fill in all the paperwork up front, so... This was a little side door to this office and I could just walk out. I didn't need to go through the lobby, and God bless their soul for doing that, because I barely made it to my car. And when I got in the car, I screamed and I kept saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I felt like I betrayed her. She thought I was there to take her home.
...2026 has been a quiet year in the Lewitz house. A year of contraction. The first couple of days without Nova, none of us quite knew where to sit. Because no matter how we positioned ourselves on the couches, the balance was somehow off.
I had never been in this house without both of them. For 11 years, they were just the consistent presence in the house. You just get used to the two of them as a amorphous shape, but they're always together. As much as they sometimes annoyed each other, it was very rare for one of them to be in a room and the other one not follow, mainly because they were worried that the other one would get some treats. I would find myself looking for her. I would anticipate her being somewhere. I would hear Knox's coming up the stairs, and then I would stay with my door open, anticipating Nova to follow, and she wouldn't come.
All of a sudden, it was one dog bed, one food bowl. It was especially hard for Rue, who had made a massive career change and was starting a work-from-home job the very next day.
I had been so pumped at the prospect of working from home, and that meant working with Nova by my side because she was my shadow. And I had set up my entire home office so that Nova would be comfortable. Again, she was grumpy, so you needed to make sure she had space to lie and that you could scratch her, but also not startle her with any sudden movements. So I had set up like a little ottoman next to me so that she could lie there and I would be able to reach her ears when I'm in Teams calls, and I was so amped. And then I had to start this very scary chapter without my shadow.
At the time of this recording, we've made it through 5 months without Nova.
The house is different. No one comes to fetch the empty toilet rolls anymore. The garden is... There's less poop on my plants. Nova was a nervous pooper. When she wanted to poop, her poop mustn't fall directly on the floor. So she would circle my succulents. Those were the best toilet seats for her. And she would poo on a plant all the time. And I remember about a week after she died, walking in the garden, and I found a turd on a leaf, and I cried. I was like, it's the last Nova turd.
We've all needed to grow around the gaping Nova-shaped hole. Nox has taken up the role of shadow companion and emotional support dog, so Rue is never alone at her desk and never has to take a Teams call on her own.
There's something about the unconditional acceptance of a dog that no human can ever really give you. I'd like to think we love each other unconditionally, but there's something about a dog that allows you to be your truest self. I mean, they don't care whether you've swindled your taxes or whether you made a blunder in a meeting. They don't care about any of those things. That does not change how they see you. I think that's why they are such good companions when you're going through something hard, because you can think whatever you need to think and it doesn't scare them. They bear witness to everything with no judgment.
And that's what Nova gave us for 11 years. Her quiet, non-judgmental presence and unconditional love that would squeeze in between your back and the backrest of an office chair, or sit with you in the scullery until you were ready to face the world again.
I think that's what she is still teaching me, is be present with your own life, be present with the people that you love, be in those moments. Even when those moments are flippin' scary, even when those moments are propped against the back door in the middle of an anxiety spiral, be present in it.
Before Nox and Nova, I liked dogs, and I always wanted to be a dog owner. But now, for having shared 11 years of my life with them, I am a dog person.
When you lose a dog, I think when you get past all the sadness and the missing them, and I don't know that you get past it, maybe you never do, but there's this deep appreciation to have experienced a connection beyond words, to have a soul connection with another living, breathing entity. It's holy to have that. And Nova will always be one of the best chapters of my life. She was the best dog. She was such a good girl.
Do we need to get to work, Nova? Do we need to do some work? Okay, we'll do some work now.
A free way to support Something Shifted is to leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's a chance to tell us what you love about the podcast, what you've enjoyed about this season, and it also helps others who don't know what to expect from an episode discover it too. Even a simple message like keep shifting is greatly appreciated. Subscribe so you never miss a human-centered story. Find us at somethingshifted.co.za, where you can send a voice message or recommend a story that you think we should tell. You can also check out the show notes for Something Shifted soundtrack playlist, which is a compilation of songs we've listened to while making this season of Something Shifted. They're songs that make us feel a little less lonely and a lot more empowered. Many thanks to Rue, my executive producer, for additional writing on this episode. And as always, thank you for listening. We'll be back with season 5 and a fresh batch of stories soon. Until then, keep shifting.